Recording. We are hot. This is the TBF second Saturday in a row. Doing a live Q&A and just talk and everything. I don't know how many people are going to have listening, but we'll put this up and I'll get you that audio file too, bro. That way too, yeah. If you want to share it to your network as well. Because yeah. What happens is this, it ends up recording like an OGG file.
Yeah.
And so it's just got to be converted over to MP3. That's really the biggest challenge with it, as I had last week with it was Lucky Butterbar and I. I don't know if you listened to that one, but halfway through the podcast, Butterbar jumped off, and then he ended up just crashing the whole thing on when he did that. So
of course, it was Butterbar. That,
I know, dude. It was the most hilarious thing. Like. What fucking officers?
I gotta do,
but it's, you know, though, like nowadays too, bro. Like in the military, how often do you run into people who have degrees that are enlisted?
Actually, a good majority of people nowadays, like, has a lot of the majority now. Like, it seems like everyone has them, so. It happens more often than not.
Are they offering incentives for these people just to pay off their student loans?
Yeah, a lot of people join to kind of do that. And if not, it's incentivized for us as well to get our degrees. So then that way we look better, I guess.
Well, I know. I mean, and absolutely. I know when I was in, I took a lot of classes. I mean, it was just... They're paying for a good majority of the courses that you're taking. And I don't know, to me, I mean, that was why I had joined, honestly, you know, man, like, I wanted the GI Bill. So I joined for the GI Bill. Although, you know, being completely honest with you here, I'll repeat, and I'm not sure how I would feel about it now, but there's been many times I've looked back and wish I just stayed in, simply because, I mean, bro, it's like, you know, you and I chat, and most of the people that I know and I get along with, man, it's military people, whether it's former or current. You know, we see eye to eye with one another. I guess it's, we've all been through the suck enough that we understand one another enough, and it's kind of easy just to, you start on a common ground. Now, granted, that's not always true, because just as there's annoying people in the military, you know, it's not like I'm going to get along with every vet.
No, I definitely hear you on that, because like you said, experiencing all the stuff we have, we've seen all the good, the bad. So we definitely know how the system runs. And then when you see how the system runs, you definitely understand a lot more of the politics of the world and kind of get a better idea of how things are happening and the better breakdown of it. And then you're used to having these conversations about literally everything. So it's so much easier to just kind of talk about things and get along and be respectful. But yeah, most vets tend to be super smart and be able to have like a good conversation and be respectful when it comes to that.
I gotta apologize. I accidentally dropped myself out of the chat here as I was trying to post up on PBF that we were doing a live stream, and as I opened up on my phone, because I'm doing this off the computer, I ended up dumping off of here, and it automatically picked up on my phone. So, yeah, dude. Now I'm learning every day how I have to do this, and whatever.
No, I hear you on that. It's the same way for us over on this side.
So, you know, you and I have been talking about a lot of different stuff. I think one of the commonalities that we've been finding lately, and it's kind of interesting, right?
Yeah.
it's sort of, I guess, the religious side of things. You know, I come from an area here where I wasn't particularly religious growing up, although during my teenage years, you know, I got pretty stoked, like, getting into religion and stuff like that for a while. But, you know, it was definitely strong, like, evangelical type stuff. Yeah, dude. Yeah, it was like Youth for Christ kind of things. Yeah. And it was that part of it. But then, you know, within a year, I left that and became like Mr. Punk Rocker, and then even at one point, like Mr. Atheist. What's your background with that?
So I grew up Pentecostal.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So I grew up in that form of environment of, you know, the whole speaking in tongues. So there was that for like a good long while. A lot of growing up was that. And then also kind of non-denominational, like Spanish Christian. And then college kind of happened. And then I kind of fell out of all of that. Same kind of deal. You know what I mean? Just listening to different types of music, thinking that I was cool and that I knew everything, that I knew better, which I, you know, obviously we don't. And then eventually, once I joined up the military, like, I think I was back in Afghan, like, things kind of started getting kind of weird. And then I kind of started reading the Bible again, and then started kind of going non-denominational. And then now I'm kind of stuck between, like, I don't know, like, I'm trying to figure something out. The more I read, the more I kind of learn, the more I'm trying to stick to more traditional type things. Like you and I have talked about before, I've been looking more into the Orthodox side of the house, which would honestly be kind of cool trying to find one around in my area. But yeah.
Well, you know, man, I think for me, what really got me interested in Orthodoxy at first was there's so much history, and it's a rich history. And I think it's a history that a lot of people in the West don't know about because, well, I mean, people associate, you know, the Orthodox with Catholicism, which it was until, was it 1054? I never get the year right when there was the schism. I think it was 1054 when there was the big schism between the East and the West. Mm-hmm. But then everybody just assumes, like, all the things that you heard about, like when Martin Luther was going after the Orthodox Church, that when he was going after the Catholic Church, that Everybody thinks that the Orthodox Church was doing the same thing. And realistically, like, the Catholic Church was just the Roman Church in the Orthodox world, and there was a bunch of other patriarchs. And so the thing is that people don't realize is there's just so much history and thought, and everybody's kind of thrown out the baby with the bathwater as it comes to that. You know, because especially you know, because you've got this, you got all these people, you know, and they followed, like, with it's people that learned from the apostles. And they wrote books, and they wrote books over centuries. And There's some people you'll find, you know, people now, because I've run into, like, some different Lutherans and some other people now that are kind of interested in some of this stuff, because I think it applies, because, you know, a lot of people will just sort of make up religion as it goes nowadays, is the way I see it.
Yeah, you know? Self-interpretation of what they believe the message is. Yeah.
Yeah, man. You know, and on one level, I can see some of that, but when it comes to stuff like this, I think it's very important to have a rich tradition of people who have discussed these things over a very long period of time. You know, like, you hear people talking very negatively about something like just like the Nicene, the councils, on what people were deciding about as to what was church doctrine and what wasn't church doctrine. And, You know, people are like, oh, who are they to say this? And it's like, well, you got to realize there were some really crazy stuff going on that people were saying that was going against what was in the Bible. So when they started doing these things, it was in response to that. And it wasn't just something simple. I mean, it was, the first one was Emperor Constantine actually getting people together to discuss these various pieces and come to consensus, really.
And then not just that, and it's like the other thing too, that like people might say that it's like another like kind of skeptical thing, like even using like the use of the Holy Spirit and all that, like which some people can be skeptical about, which is, you know, fair on their own judgment. But if they're all within the same note, like that's another guiding light that kind of guides people towards making the best decision that's like for that council. And some people are like, oh, well, how do you know stuff like that's true? And then like, for me, I've had my own personal experience where like you and I have discussed before that, you know, I was visiting a church and I'd never been to this church. It was in National City. I was a
nasty was like, city,
like in San Diego, National City, like nasty city. Either way, I remember the pastor was like, he was praying for people or whatever. And then he looks at me and he calls me up and he's like, hey, let me pray for you. And I'm like, all right, cool. Sure, dude. And he's like praying for me. And then he tells me like one of my like dreams, I guess you could kind of say, which I've never told anyone and never met this man in my life. And he's praying for me. He's like, hey, that dream that you have is going to come true, blah, blah, blah. And I was just like, how's this guy like know like word for word all the things that I like and the things that I want to do in this life? And I've never met this man in my life. And it might just be one anecdote, you know what I mean? But at the same time, it's like there's no way that you can thoroughly explain how a complete stranger knows your like your dreams, you know what I mean? So it, like that in and of itself, at least for me personally, speaks volumes of like, hey, if people can come together, especially those are like they came together to decide, hey, what are these changes that we're going to make in these meetings, especially with during those times, like it's the same thing this day and age. They all decided together, hey, for the Holy Spirit, we're all going to decide and pray about this, and hey, this is the route that we're going to go.
Well, and I think that's been one of the things for me too, as well, as I took a step away from religion and church in general and things like that, that I tried to approach this from the extreme rationalism, like how would Voltaire look at this or whatever it was that I was saying. You know, man, you know, because there was like that whole approach where people tried to even rewrite the Bible so that it focused on rationalism and they eliminated everything, and that created sort of this empty vessel of a Bible. And all I can say, and it for a good part of the last, I don't know, man, 10, 15 years of my life prior to this, it was always trying to look at things and use my own logic to approach a lot of this. And through that, I would be able to look at things critically and come to conclusions. And as I turned to religion, because for me, man, you know what it was?
There's
so many different things, right?
It's an accumulation of like multiple things.
Yeah, I know, dude. That's why it's so hard to say, like, well, you know what it was. And it's like, well, okay, one of the variables, let's put it like that.
Yeah.
One of the things that really struck me as odd. So a couple years ago, over Memorial Day weekend, one of my boys took his life. And the week following, it was this church service. And I go to this church. And I'm in this church, bro. And
yeah,
I'm seeing more things inside this church for LGBTQ, LMNOP, whatever, inside of it than I'm seeing about religion. And I'm like, this is really weird. You know, because I was already having kind of questions at this point, you know, and trying to figure stuff out. But as I'm sitting there looking around, I was like, wow, they've turned this church into like this LGBTQ devotional place. And I was like, this is really weird because, you know, for me, I was thinking about it and I'm like, how we've worked so hard to get religion out of society, but yet we're just creating other religions. That's the way I saw it. And then especially last year, you know, like last year when you saw all the things happen, like how many funerals did George Floyd have? Like 5? Where they brought him around the country in his gold casket?
Yeah, more or less. Yeah. The new golden calf.
Yeah, bro. And then you see like all these city councils, or you see in all these schools now where they said, oh yeah, you can't have crosses here, crucifix, you can't do all of these things, but yet they're throwing up the LGBTQ flag. And it's like these things like this, it's like this isn't adding up. And especially as people are responding to these things, you know, like last year, right? We're told that hey, you know, you guys need to stay home unless you're protesting for BLM. Because when you protest for BLM, you don't pass along a disease. But when you're doing anything, you can't go to church, but you can protest for BLM. And in fact, you can protest for BLM inside of an arena, and that's okay. You're going to be safe.
Yeah, that should have been everyone's like first clue of just like, okay, they're attacking the church.
Well, dude, yeah, it was funny too, because at least for me, the way it looks like is that they intentionally went after the church so that they could go around and do this. Because let's be honest, man, a lot of this stuff that they're doing is they're just creating these consumerist cultures. It's consume, consume, consume. It's this this capitalism that is so just like driven by media and the culture around us.
Yeah. It's definitely been the driving factor, and then the consistent ads that bombard every single freaking day through social media, the internet, freaking television, YouTube. It's just constant, 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 constant.
Well, and bro, it's like, it's so funny too, because like we are on social media, and of course we are, because we're trying to get a message out there. And I've had people say that's kind of hypocritical, but it's like, no, we're just trying to share information. You know, maybe we're not right. And I hope people realize that. I've said this before and I'll say it again. Like, I'm just trying to do the best I can with what I have, you know? And
yeah,
I question things, and I try to just, I'm searching for truth, and I'm trying to put the truth out there. And what we're seeing quite often is that the elite, the culture, all the people out there, they're trying to push stuff on us that is very different from what we are told is the way things are. And I don't mean that from the sense that, hey, man, this is always right. No, man, question it. But, man, some of this stuff is just so far out there. When you've got, you know, mothers saying that their one-year-old they know is transgender. Really?
Yeah, a lot of this stuff is just absolute ridiculousness, and it's just people that are just trying to fit in with this current narrative to get some form of freaking brownie points and be like, yeah, man, this is what's actually happening. And it's like, no, like, there's no reason for you to be doing these things. 10 years ago, none of this would have been happening.
Dude, 5 years ago. And that's what's crazy about it, is the way it just accelerates the insanity of it. It makes my head spin sometimes just trying to keep track of things. And I can see it sometimes, you know, and I think I commented this when I was talking to Danny from CWO last week.
Yeah, yeah.
I watch these things. I'm always looking at these things. I'm paying attention. And when people sometimes, I see that they're still stuck like two or three times backward. You know, it's kind of like the thing, I make fun of the libertarians, the lulberts, a lot. I used to be one, you know, man. And that's kind of why I make fun of it, because it's this they have this live and let live attitude, which I appreciate, and I think that's great and everything like that. But what I see is that has now just degenerated into where you see somebody shooting up heroin on the street. And we're supposed to be okay with that because they've made their decision. But what I have found is that the culture that we live in now feeds itself off of people's addictions, whether it's the people on social media that are trying to, you know, they need to get likes. Ooh, how many likes do you get? You know, what is
that? Quick dopamine release.
Well, and the thing that a lot of people were saying for a while, you're just posting for clout, there's truth to that, but it's also, it's become an NPC kind of thing you see at times, you know. I don't know if it's a more intelligent NPC, but it's still an NPC. Like, everything posting is for clout.
Yeah, it's a new way to kind of control the conversation, or like how they call everything, oh, you're just a conspiracy theorist. That's really like their only technique to try to shut down a conversation, because they don't have any other points.
And I'm like, nah, bro, I'm a conspiracy empiricist. You want to hear more?
I got all the data, bro.
Look at this. Like Charlie in It's Always Sunny with his little conspiracy charts on the wall, or Beautiful Mind. Like, come look at my wall.
That's literally me. I feel like Alex Jones most of the time when people look at me, or they're having like conversations, and then I come in and they're like, whoa, slow down there a little bit. I'm like, what? You guys don't want to break free from the Matrix, bro? Come on. Come on, man. I'll give you those red pills, dog.
Well, you know, there's the Matrix side of it. And then, you know, one of the other things, too, that I was rewatching, that movie with Jim Carrey, The Truman Show. Like, ooh. You know, to me, there's a lot of truth to that as well. Just the controlled narrative that we've been sort of tricked or whatever into believing that the so much of this stuff was organic and natural around us, and then to realize how much of it is just controlled, and especially when it comes to the media itself, you know.
Yeah.
And then you all of a sudden you look around one day and you notice, like, wow, this stuff's so contrived.
Yeah. Or even just like the whole media aspect, like Operation Mockingbird, like it all makes sense. Like each outlet repeats the same thing over and over and over and over. And it's like, that's not more proof of all that. Like, I don't know what else you need.
Well, especially when you look and see too, a lot of the news that is doing that oftentimes is how many people, like, look at how many people MSNBC and CNN have on staff that are called former CIA.
Yo, for real.
These intelligence folks. Yeah, dude, it's such a crazy, you know, I hate to sound like I'm repeating myself at times, but man, I want to open people's eyes up to it, you know, at times. And but I can't help but feel sometimes like, yeah, I kind of am repeating myself, but it's like, but then I know at the same time too that people haven't heard this, you know, and that's one of the things too. Do you follow Food Goon?
Yeah.
He does a good job of taking some of the things I post and expanding upon it. Cause it's like, I always assume like I'm posting this, like they get it, but he does a better job communicating what I'm actually trying to say. So if you see me posting, go look over at Food Goon. He's probably doing a better job explaining what I'm saying. And I guess I realize that too. And I don't want to be a mockingbird.
But then it opens up the door to other like people that can explain it a little better, where like kind of how like Alex Jones is, he spits out so much information, but a lot of it is highly correct. And then until you have someone like Joe Rogan, which he's kind of a shill, but at the same time, like he gets them to slow down. They look through all this information. They're able to break it down. So then that way it's like, okay, see, now that you can see the data, it's all there. It's the same thing. Like my girl kind of gets mad at me because I'd be the same way. And then she hears somebody else says it like slower. And she's like,
yeah,
okay, you were right.
Well, isn't that hilarious too, what they did this week, Doc? To Joe Rogan, the whole ivermectin thing, the horse paste, but then to see how CNN tried to make him all psionic, sciatic.
Yeah, he looked gray on those pictures, but on Instagram, I was like, okay, he looks healthy. That's what's up.
Yeah, dude. And to see how hard the media works to destroy people like that, you know, and yeah, I guess it's one of those things I struggle with sometimes. Like, Joe Rogan is a shill, and I'm like, he does expose a lot of things and bring a lot of things to the surface. And he's always cool with like bringing somebody like Alex Jones on. He's just like, yeah, he's coming on.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, well, you can't stop me. It's hard to find people who are at least attempting to be honest. You know, it's like him. And then even like, what is it? Tim Pool with his stuff. Like,
yeah,
I used to watch Tim Pool stuff a lot. And I know a lot of people do still now. I think I had my overload of him trying to be a fence setter. But you know what? At the same time, he still brings everybody on.
Yeah.
And I've got to respect him for that.
I love all that. He always repeats the same thing as well. It's actually kind of funny. All right. So take a look at this. He just needs to take off the beanie, bro. And then he'll be all right.
Yeah. Then he's going to show his bald head. Did you ever see that video?
I used to be a Tim Pool fan too. And then just, it got a little old for me after a while. I'm like, get off the fence, bro. Like, make a stand. And I was kind of mad when he kicked off the other dude to Adam.
Oh, I liked Adam. I liked Adam. Yeah, and I was following Adam for a while, but, you know, it was kind of boring watching Adam by himself. I don't know what he's doing now because I tried watching him, but I was just like, I think that was one of the things, though, that moved me. You know, that's right. I forgot about that. That kid was pretty cool.
Yeah, he kept a good balance and kind of pushed Tim a little bit. He pushed him a little bit, but then I don't know what happened between them. I think there was like some kind of, I think it was weird. I don't know. He just kicked him out.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, I know you're at work today too, and I know somebody had a question.
Yeah.
Let's see. Yeah, Richard Lionheart had a question. So let's open up the floor a little bit to questions here. So we don't, you're going to need to take yourself off mute, Mr. Lionheart.
Copy that.
There you go. All right, now send it.
All right. I guess it's just, it's similar along the lines of what you guys are talking about. I grew up Christian, was raised very much in the church. But as time's gone on, I've asked myself a ton of questions. And I think between your guys' post and you mentioned Food Goon, Nat G, he's got a couple eye-opening posts. There's, I don't know, I just started questioning a lot of what I thought I knew, questioning everything, and I guess realizing how much we've been lied to throughout, well, probably all of our lives, but history. How do you guys reconcile, I guess, current faith? How do you guys feel so confident that the Christian beliefs most of us share aren't just another form of life? Like, what do you guys, how do you guys reconcile that?
Do you want to go first, bro?
Yeah. I guess for me, like, growing up Pentecostal, it was like a lot of different traditions, but the pastor that I had was like extremely, he was all firm and he was all about complete honesty about things. And then a lot of the things that, like, back in the day I used to think was kind of ridiculous, especially when he'd call out things like, hey, Disney's the devil, all this stuff is coming from satanic places. And as a kid, you know, you kind of don't believe it. And as you kind of grow older, you come to realize that a lot of this stuff is exactly just that. And then also, depending on the type of denomination that you might be under, will be another point as well. Like, the one thing that I can appreciate about the Orthodox Church is, one, the tradition of just keeping things how it should be and then not changing to abide with current times. So that's one thing that has always kept me a little bit more firm in my faith, and then just consistently reading and then seeing how the world is going, and then just biblically how it all kind of aligns. And as difficult as it may seem, as difficult as it seems to kind of try to believe that what we're reading is good, the more you look back and kind of look at the historical aspect of all these things, as they all kind of aligns with the Bible and biblical like things as well, it just makes me more confident that, hey, like, if the world is really going the way it is, then the Bible is right about like all these things, that things are going to get worse until, you know, that time comes that, you know, the second coming, until that other coming of Christ. And then for me, it gives me hope and it gives me faith, and it makes me want to try harder and build up my family and my community, so then that way we can all be stronger together.
And, you know, I agree with a lot of what he has said here. And for me, you know, I think I touched on it a little bit before. I operated, and I'm going to expand upon this. So I operated from a position of trying to be rational about everything. And one of the things that I discovered when it comes to God, Christianity, and things like that is it's not something that fits into that whole. And because of that, you know, I struggled with that on my own. But at the same time, too, I truly went with my heart. What did my heart tell me? Because, you know, the background to this, too, is that before I got into the Christianity quite a bit, I was doing mushrooms. I was growing my own mushrooms, you know, and I was seeing things when I was doing the mushrooms that made me question my own sort of atheistic, agnostic approach to things. And that kind of opened me up. And it's probably one of those things that it's not your traditional Christian approach to things, but it's what broke me from that. And by that, I was questioning from there what was going on and what I was seeing and realizing that there's a whole spiritual aspect to things around me. And so then it was going down the pathway of what was that spiritualism. And as I was exploring many of those things, different trials that I went through, as I, you know, like as I talked about, you know, my buddy that took his life, and talking to people, because a kid I grew up with is a pastor now, and I was talking to him a lot. And the more that I was talking about these things, and as I was exploring, I started feeling like, okay, this is right. This is the right path. And again, it's not something that I can say that it's not a syllogism that I can use logically to say that this is correct. I know in my heart it's correct. And that's hard to kind of say, but that to me also fits into the pattern of the spiritualism that's out there. And there was a couple of things that I did too after that, because, you know, I'm a podcast addict and everything like that. If you guys haven't figured out with the fact that I think I've been on every single one of these PBF podcasts, and I kind of, I've been the driving force behind that. But in listening to different podcasts, it was there was a podcast that made by Jim Bob was on, and he was on there with Jay Dyer, and then also the Primal Edge guy, guys Tristan. They were on this podcast, and they were talking about things. And there was a lot of things that I was agreeing upon with them, but then they got into discussing the Christianity side of it. And I tried to avoid that because I was trying to kind of steer into, again, that logic pathway of everything. And then I was like, you know what? I got to be a little more open to this. And I think it was Tristan recommended a book that was called Nihilism. It's less than 100 books, and it's by this guy, Father Seraphim Rose. Father Seraphim Rose was a beatnik and a hippie back in like late 50s, early 60s, San Francisco, who wrote very prolifically, became an Orthodox Christian, and many books, but this one specifically, his nihilism book, nihilism, however you want to say it. In that book, I started reading it, and I've been rereading it again. Again, because it's so rich, but it, like, it was the second, third chapter where he really starts breaking down how we have stepped outside of God, and by stepping outside of God, the world that we created is really this hell on earth in a lot of ways, and how in many ways it's just a rebellion against God, and how all these things tie together. And when I was reading it, it was one of those things when I read it, I put it down because it was articulating the things that I was seeing, and it made sense. And this book too, you don't even have to get a buy a copy of it. There's PDFs online from him on this, but for me, to see that, it's one of those things I'm still, like, I'm uncomfortable saying, but it's the truth. Sometimes there's things that we run into in life, and they just, they occur coincidentally with one another, and there's a reason why they occur, and I really believe that now. Whereas I tried to steer away from that, like, oh yeah, that's just by chance, whatever, blow it off. But to do that, and then they also recommended to get the Orthodox Study Bible, because it's an amazing piece of work that they did. They spent 20 years on it in the Orthodox Church. And you open this up, and the footnotes were quite amazing. And I've shared it with people as well. And the footnotes aren't just what in the Bible. The footnotes at times get into the things that the church fathers discussed, because there's a lot of questions that they discussed. There's wisdom there that we miss out on. And when you read that, you know, I sit down and I read these books now, and I read the Bible, and for however you approach this, it feels right. I took a friend of mine who's somebody who's been into like black metal and a lot of things like that to an Orthodox church. He stood there next to me. And I, you know what? I just told him I was going, and I invited him to go, and he wanted to go. So I was like, cool, come with me, whatever. You know, like, I'm not going to turn him away from there. And, you know, he didn't leave during the service and everything like that, you know, and I was just kind of talking. I mean, this is a guy too. He had gone through other churches as well. So it wasn't like he was complete, like, in any way, I don't want to give the appearance that this guy was a Satanist or anything like that, but it just was somebody that you wouldn't suppose would have enjoyed this. And then that evening, I was just talking to him, and I was like, hey, bro, did you enjoy that? Because the, and I was telling him this during the Orthodox Church service, the liturgy of St. John Chrysostom that they do is the liturgy that you would have found in Constantinople in the 5th century. You know, it's the same thing, although it's not in Greek, although at times you can go places where they do it in Greek, but it's the same service that they did back then. It follows the same pattern. And he was pretty dumbfounded by that because he's somebody that enjoys history. And that night when I talked to him about it, and I was like, hey, man, you know, because I never want to, as I approach doing this with Disgruntled, I knew we were going to talk about this. It's one of those things that I'm always kind of, I don't want to feel like I'm pushing this on people. I want to open it up to people. And if you choose to do it, cool. I don't want to be the person that's standing there condemning people and say, you have to do this.
Yeah.
I just know that what I have found here and a lot of other people that I have brought towards this have felt the same way. He that night said to me, can I go to church with you next week? He said that was the most beautiful church service and seemed the closest to what he thought Christianity should be when he went to that with me. He said to me that there was three times in the middle of the service, because, you know, I was trying to explain different pieces of it to him. He said that I didn't even want to talk to you because I felt like crying as I was experiencing it. And those are the type of things, man, that I can't put that necessarily entirely into words. I can describe for you the circumstances. I can describe for you the circumstances, how they make me feel. But then when I hear the same thing from people that I trust very much, and I'm talking to them and they're doing this, and in no way am I, I'm more trying to explain to these people what's going on and just sharing this with them. And when they respond in that way, it just reinforces for me. I don't know, man. Like, I know I've rambled on, Richard. Does that make sense, man?
I mean, honestly, both of your answers made a ton of sense. And as soon as Doc started talking, and even as you were just saying there, I mean, I think feelings are something I've learned to shut off.
Mm-hmm.
Disregard. And I kind of always felt like, you know, maybe along the lines of how you used to think Christianity should be a little more logical. And I don't know, maybe that's something, a chapter of my own life I shut off and I disregarded it. But even as both of you answered, I mean, yeah, it makes a ton of sense that there's so much that's being confirmed biblically and spiritually around us that I guess I can't invalidate those just based on my own feelings.
Well, I mean, and that's the thing too, and I talk about with people at times, is, you know, in this day and age that we're living in now, people are still looking towards somehow like we're going to solve this by earthly means. And honestly, I just don't think that that's going to resolve it, because there's so much evil in this world that has to be confronted that it's honestly spiritual warfare. You know, we joke a lot of times that these people are satanic, but man, whether or not they realize that they are, in the things that they're doing, in the things they're trying to enforce, in the way that they're coming after. Because, you know, one of the things that was really interesting too, because I talked about Jay Dyer, because he covered a book, and I've mentioned this before, but it's called Tragedy and Hope, and it's by this guy, Carol Quigley. And just quick background, Carol Quigley was a professor of history at Georgetown University. He was Bill Clinton's mentor there. This book that he put out, Tragedy and Hope, was on the Council on Foreign Relations. You know, these are people who help guide what we're going to do overseas and things like that. But in the notes, he flat out lays out in the book, if you get an original copy of it, because there's different copies out there, some of them, they've taken some of these pieces out. But he talks specifically about how the banks in Europe, the Rothschilds, financed Napoleon and how they've financed so many of these wars. And then you get into as well how it was Western banks that financed the Bolshevik Revolution in Russia in order to overthrow the Tsar. And because one of the things that they were wanting to get rid of was the Orthodox Church. And when I saw that, that was one of those things that opened up my eyes. And it's like, well, why would they do that? Why would these people who are trying to do these evil things that I don't agree with, they're doing these things, they're trying to destroy these traditions, and why are they doing it? And I mean, it could be, quite honestly, it could be that these people are just ignorant, right? And they're trying to do something good that's destroying ignorance. But if you look at what these people's goals have been continuously, it's not in any way to do something that is for humanity. It's pushing these things for what are just, I guess, evil capitalism, or I don't even know what's capitalism anymore, because when you look at the structure, well, I mean, when you look at the structure of our country, state capitalism. It's not the capitalism that we thought was going to be this all pure capitalism. And if anything, this state capitalism is pushing out so much degeneracy on us. But I've gone away from it. But I guess my point is that when you start reading these books that these people have written, you know, maybe 5% of the population reads books, maybe. But what do they read? They don't read the books that these people are putting out where they're saying the things that they're doing. And if you go and check out a lot of the stuff Jay Dyer did, because he talked about this in that book, and I'll be honest with you, I didn't believe it. I was like, no way. They didn't actually say this in this book. And then you go and you read the book, and you're just like, wow. Like, they write these books for one another, so that one another can read across the globe, these elites and things like that, and their plans. And then when you look at the things that are going on with the World Economic Forum and UN's Agenda 21 and Agenda 30, and all of these things are aligning in such a way that it's like, okay, this is crazy. This is really crazy. And like you said, Doc, when Alex Jones has said these things, I a lot of times looked away. And there's still some times now where I'm just like, oh man, bro, Alex, calm down. You know, like you could probably get more people on your side. He just gets real excited.
Yeah. Sometimes it's just a matter of reading, looking at all these things, and then just trying to figure out where it all kind of aligns or where it doesn't. But the whole thing about like feeling, I know it's kind of like it seems to be a mutual thing with like most of the military members, that we just kind of tend to put that away due to experiences of just consistent loss and consistent failures and things like that. So sometimes like we just get to ignore it, but the more you kind of tend to practice silencing yourself and not exactly like meditation, but like in deep prayer enough to where you can be quiet and try to listen, which is honestly one of the hardest parts, because even I struggle with it sometimes, just being quiet my mind, my heart and everything, so then that way I can see if I can listen to see what like God has for me, because I've struggled with it, man. You're not the only one who's trying to realize that, hey, am I putting away my thoughts, so then that way I can hear these things and feel these things like how I'm supposed to, because we've been so conditioned now that it's like the only time we're going to use our feelings is in some lame stuff. So but for this, you can still kind of try and feel that. It takes practice, just like anything else that you try to hone in on different skills. It's like you practice on it, and the more you practice, the better you get at it. A lot of things like that too is just reading consistently, being in constant prayer. Fasting is a huge one, that just getting the right mindset and that body and state of mind, so that way you can be more in keen with God's voice or with those feelings. And it's like, hey, God, like, what is it that you want? Like, I'm here and I want to listen, I want to see. And sometimes it's super obvious, or sometimes it can be subtle, but it takes practice for a lot of us, man. So you're not alone in that. I think most of us kind of tend to feel that way, but because of the way current technology is, where we can see things so easily available, it's hard to be patient. And learning to be patient to kind of figure this stuff out is definitely a key sometimes, you know?
And, you know, and that's true, man. You know, and what you said, Richard, as well. And as I had mentioned, it's just that feelings type of thing. There's truth there. And for years, I thought that that wasn't true. And I thought that I could bury those things down inside of me. But you know what? By burying a lot of those feelings down inside of me, all I did was make myself just hate more. Because, you know, for a very long time, I was not a good person. I was not good at all. And I went through some bad relationships and various situations with friendships and things like that. And a lot of it, I was being destructive. And there's a good part of it where I was just avoiding the feelings of things and thinking that I could push that stuff away. And it's hard. It's hard as what we think of ourselves as these tough guys that, oh, you know, it's this false bravado, really, that we think that somehow we can avoid these things. And if we do avoid those things, we create more problems for ourselves. But when we open ourselves up to those things and really honestly address it, I mean, it's not like, look, you don't have to be like Mr. Go whatever, you see those weird photos of dudes laying around on the couch naked, hugging each other, that somehow they're getting in touch with their manliness, because that's just weird. Unless you're in the field and wearing your...
wearing boot bands and it's Thursday.
Yeah. And it's Thursday and it's in Kabul. Although we can't go there now, can we?
Probably not.
Yeah. Yeah, bro. Richard, I mean, you're still there. What do you think, bro?
Are we talking about what I think about naked cuddling or
whatever you think, bro? How do you feel about naked cuddling with bearded fat men?
I mean, I got the part down, so we're good there.
Okay, good.
I think what you're saying not only makes a ton of sense, but deep down, if I was to be a little more humble and honest with myself, it already is echoing with something I think deep down I knew, but out of maybe, I don't know, pride or stubbornness, I'm ignoring it.
Well, I think, I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to say, something probably you guys could relate to as well with everything going on and kind of like this overwhelming influx of information and changes coming our way, I've kind of hardened my heart even more, which is probably the opposite of what I should be doing given everything going on.
But that's part of the survival too at times, because when you harden your heart, it helps you to survive in some ways. But I think the reality of that though too is that's just looking to yourself. And that's one of the things, I think, Doc, you could probably back me up on this as well, is that when you actually turn and you ask God for help, that to realize there's something else to help you.
No, yeah, I wholeheartedly agree to that, because I used to be the same way. I used to hold in a lot of things, a lot of anger. And even though, like, I grew up in the church and all that, you know, I stepped away from all that for like a good while. And I thought I could do things on my own. You know, I was struggling with like PTSD and also from like patients that have like died on me. And like, I thought I could do it all on my own. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to suck it up. I'm going to keep it all internalized. Like I can do this on my own. And then eventually it got to a point that it got so bad that, you know, the alcoholism and then just being like a horrible human being, that I started going back to church, and then just I broke down there, and I realized that it's like, hey, I can't just hold all these things. And like, it does help for survivability, but when you have all these avenues and you have someone that, you know, believes and that you can talk to, and the forgiveness aspect just does so much more for you in that long run. Cause now, like, I've had better relationships everywhere. I'm able to kind of live with the things that have kind of happened. And I'm able to kind of, I've honestly never felt more normal in my life. Like after just kind of giving things up to God, and that way I can just, you know, go about my life. And then if anything, now I can, you know, you can use that as a testimony as well. To like, hey, I understand what you're feeling. I understand what you're going through. It doesn't lead down a good path. And then now we're here, like being better. Like I've honestly never been more happier in my life. Than when I was able to give everything up, and then just, as dumb as it sounds, like with like Tyler Durden, you know, once you've lost everything, then you're free to do anything. And it's the same way, you know, you give up everything to God, and then it's a weird freeing feeling, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, it makes 100% sense. I won't hog up the whole time here, so I appreciate you guys taking the time, and just know UPB boys are more of an anchor than you probably even realize for a lot of us. You're everything from your stupid memes to the news you guys put out. It means a lot to a lot of us. And so thanks, boys.
Well, I mean, glad that we do that. I think it's one of those things too, honestly, at times where I still haven't, and I don't know how you feel about this, Doc, at times. I know we've got a responsibility, and at times it still kind of hits me in a weird way to realize that we have this kind of influence, and I want to be careful with what we do sometimes. And there's times too where I'll hold back, not maybe always as much as I should sometimes, right? But because I have to be careful, and I try to say this too to some of the other guys sometimes, some of the things, because it's easy to fly off the cuff and just say something, right, and just do something. Because again, it's going from that emotion, right? But is the emotion a positive emotion, or is it going to drive things the right way? I mean, because it's like you want to keep people informed and you want to make people laugh. I mean, that's one thing too.
Yeah.
Honestly, I mean, dude, I don't know about you, but there's sometimes when I'm making a meme or whatever, I'm just cracking up. And I'm like, man, I hope people like this meme as much as I did. But if they don't, oh well.
Yeah.
I got a kick out of it.
Oh, so actually, funny that you mentioned that about like the whole responsibility. So the whole responsibility of being in this position, that's it's honestly, it's weird being in this position. But so a little bit about that whole pastor that prayed for me. So one of my dreams when I was like younger, I used to sing in a Christian metal band. In Spanish,
bro, I gotta hear this sometime. If you've got audio of this,
you no, I don't think that should ever hit the light of day. But either way, like I always thought, like that
was
no. I wanted to reach out to people in that way of through music and writing and be able to kind of bring people to God. And I thought that was my calling. And, you know, but maybe I just got it mixed up. And when that pastor was praying for me, that's what he prayed for. He's like, hey, your dream of like reaching people is going to come true. And I just didn't realize in what manner. And until now, actually, I was talking, I think we're talking about it the other day, but that just kind of made me realize, like, at first I joined the page to just post memes and talk trash like everyone else. And then now that are where they're at, it's just like you said, you have to be weary where there's times it's like, you got to keep a balance. So just like, hey, I want to post memes. I want to make people laugh and make sure that they're good. But then also just kind of being careful with what we post and then ensuring that people get the correct information and that they, you know, they get their Sunday based posting. So then that way it gives them courage to stay strong.
That's always funny too, dude. Like when you post that stuff up, some of the responses, it seems to be mellowing out some, but it's funny to see sometimes people still like to go after some of that stuff or whatever, you know? And
it's the internet. You know what I mean? People are going to be trolling.
Yeah, no, dude. I mean, and let's be honest. I mean, I was a troll for a while, you know. I mean, I think that's why I ended up joining PBF in some ways. I liked writing and everything like that, but I liked trolling. And when I first got into doing PBF, it was one of those things where I used to get drunk or high or something like that. And I would just go off on stupid things, you know, and it was a release. And I guess that was therapeutic in that way, but after a certain time too, and you know, that's what we get from people sometimes. They still want that old, whatever it was. And I don't think people realize, and maybe they do, I don't know. Like, it was therapeutic for us in some ways, but it was also very toxic, too, as well.
Again,
to the point of we influence people.
Mm.
Like, go ahead.
Yeah, the negativity just kind of, it takes a life on its own, and then it consumes you, because then you're looking for more and more and more and more to talk about it, and you're just like, bro, I don't want to talk about the negative anymore.
Well, you know, and I mean, it's a quick cathartic release when you can put that out there, right? Like, but then you've let it go. But then what you've done is you've put it on everybody else too, because then they're absorbing that. So that's what you've done at that point. And so you haven't really, maybe you've gotten rid of it for yourself, but now you've given it to other people. And that's the balance even now with some of the stuff, because there's things sometimes, man, where I'm like, wow, that's so, just so gross, you know, and things like that, where you're like, I don't even want to share that.
Yeah, too many black pills isn't good for you.
No, not at all. That's what's always a challenge, man. But, you know, I mean, at the same time, too, it kind of, you can open up people's thinking and their how can you sprinkle that in? And that is a challenge.
It really is, especially like with sensitive things like that, and then the way social media kind of has us, our hands tied in what you can and can't post. So the wording has to be super in a good manner where you're not going to get banned or deleted again.
Well, and that's the thing too now too, and at times I try to talk to some of the guys about, is like, you can say things without saying things, right? You got to use the subtext of it, and maybe not everybody always catches it. But I mean, that's one of the things that has gotten us in trouble recently as well, as you caption things. You got to be careful how you put it. Like if you just, I get you want to smack people up the side of the head and get that information out there. But when you're doing that, that process of doing that is one of those things that could easily get you deleted. But there was one thing that I don't remember. We got knocked for bullying on something. And I think I just asked a question. You know, it was like, do you like it this way? You know, it was something like that. And then all of a sudden it was like, your post has been taken down for bullying. And I'm like, what? But it's so arbitrary, you know, and I think that that's part of the challenge with a lot of this stuff. But it's kind of interesting the way this whole framework works. And it's what you do and we do and other pages do as well is, how can you use it against itself?
Yeah, it's like a small amount of guerrilla tactics within the system.
Yeah, I mean, because that's really what it comes down to, is that we are on some levels doing a bit of guerrilla warfare here, you know? However, because it's one of those things Food Goon and I have talked about. You know, it really is. And some of the other guys on the page, we've talked about this.
You gotta use it against bro.
Totally psyops, bro.
Well, I mean, in a form of sense, but like, it's more of just the, instead of trying to convince you of like something that's not the truth, it's like, no, this is the actual truth. But then it's like, when you're not conditioned like everyone else is, and you're not mad like they are when you're normal, you know what I mean? People will call you mad.
Well, yeah, it's that St. Anthony quote, right?
Yeah.
That we're heading towards, where the people are going to, the world's gone so mad that they're going to call you mad when everybody else is mad. Yeah, bro, it's a crazy time. I know you're at work. I don't want to keep you too long, man.
No, you're good. I'm over here skating.
Right on. I don't know. Does anybody else have any questions here in the audience? Hold your hand up.
Let me see them hands.
Oh, here we go. William Brocious. So just take yourself off mute when I let you speak.
How's it going?
You're up, William. Hello, William. William.
Bonjour.
What does that mean? Like courage or something like that?
No, it's Curly Bill from Tombstone. Outlaw cowboy.
Yep. I do recall anyway, Curly Bill.
I was listening to you guys talk to, was it Richard?
Yes, and, Mr. Yeah. Lionheart.
One of the things that I think is really lost is the power of prayer and the immediate need for prayer. So like, I don't know if you guys felt compelled, but at that moment I felt compelled to pray for him, and I did. But I just wanted to offer that. There's power in supposition to God, and you know, like, no, I don't know if you want to put it out on a podcast, but
no, dude, I mean, we're about talking about anything, you know, absolutely. And one of the things that we've always tried to do as it comes to like PBF is just be honest. And I absolutely agree with you. And I think that that's one of the things at times myself, I probably don't do enough. And I've been trying to get myself to do that, because again, it goes back to that sort of, I'm strong and I can rely upon myself, so I should just, you know, whatever. But then it's, as I mentioned, asking for that help and praying. And those things are very powerful. And again, especially as we're talking about, as it's spiritual warfare, the more people, I've said this, and I think I even said this to you too, Doc, like one of us is worth like 20 or 100 of them, because they're living in lies. And when they're living in lies, that weakens their platform.
No, I agree with the whole prayer as well. And like, same thing, dude, like it really is like powerful. Like even there's times for me where like things didn't make sense, especially in Afghanistan, that just like we drove over a 500-pound IED. We've driven over like so many of them so many times, and they never went off. And all of a sudden somebody else drives through that same area and they get blown up. And then there was always times in my mind that I was wondering, I'm like, bro, that could have been me at any given point in time. But then also everyone back home was praying for me consistently every day. And then there were times where like RPGs should have hit my truck and all this stuff should have happened, and it never did. And it's because of things like by the grace of God and people that believe and kept me in constant prayer that like I came out completely unscathed out of situations that most people would wouldn't, you know what I mean? Some other people that haven't had that luck, and I'm not saying that they weren't praying, but, you know, sometimes there's other reasons why things happen and for a different testimony of things. But, and at least for mine, I agree, man, that prayer works so much. And even I think during that time, I've never been praying so much more during that time or when I was in Iraq as well. So yeah, prayer during those times, especially when you're going through them, is key, and I need to be better at it. Just like our
well, I think it's well. Well, I think it's good too to when it's good times too as well. You know, that's the time we often forget, right? Because mm-hmm. we're not asking for necessarily help then. But then it's always good to be thankful and appreciative.
Yeah, that's one thing I've gotten to do every morning with my family. It's like, hey, we're gonna get together, we're gonna pray, thank God that we're alive, and then also ask for a blessing for the rest of the day.
When
for sure,
when all of my friends were joining the Marine Corps and the Army. I went toward law enforcement, but we all stayed close. And the guys that came back with a grasp on grace were the ones that had the easier time dealing with PTS and properly categorizing things that they said, the things that they saw and witnessed and took part in. And I've had many conversations with them, and it's interesting, and it's completely anecdotal, but the one thing that really resonates with me is how their walk was with Christ and their grasp and their understanding of grace. And then, you know, like the American cultural Christian church, especially prosperity gospel churches, you're not getting that understanding of grace, I feel like. And the dudes that have been okay because they have taken the free gift of grace from God. And it's just incredible to me. And it's part of the testimony, I think, that needs to be shared more often.
Well, and I think that, you know, you made the comment too that it's anecdotal. Yes, it is. But when you keep seeing the same anecdotal evidence popping up, yeah, granted, I'm not doing a deep, you know, sociological, psychological dive into this data, but at the same time, you can draw specific conclusions because we know that these things fit a certain pattern. And when they consistently fit a pattern, then there's some truth there, or a lot of truth as it is.
They become a statistic at that point. A statistic is data, and data is real.
Yeah. Some good qualitative data.
Yeah. But people don't want to look at that data because it's made up pseudoscience, allegedly.
Absolutely. Cool. I guess he's mute, so I don't know if he's got anything else to say. I don't know if anybody else
has any. No, that was pretty much it. Oh. I appreciate it.
Yeah, bro. For sure, man. Thanks for listening. Cool. Anybody else got anything else for us today?
No, man. I mean, unless anybody has other questions, just thanks. You know what I mean? Like, it's kind of hard to kind of do stuff like this, especially when it comes to, I don't know, like the podcast, and at least for on my side, trying to figure out which side we're going to like push towards. And I definitely don't want to be like a bad example, which is why like I try to clean stuff up. But yeah, man, thank you for having me on. And if anyone still got questions, like I'll definitely answer some.
Well, you know, and I thought it was worth, you know, because I've touched on these things at various times and stuff like that. And I get questions kind of individually, but I also get feedback from people a lot of times that, you know, this has helped them. And so, you know, it does matter to us,
yeah, as
Richard had said, and things like that, how we reach people and part of that responsibility. And again, I'm not trying to come at this as a perspective as I'm right, you're wrong kind of thing. I've got my beliefs, and I'm sharing with you my beliefs, and I'm hoping that by sharing my beliefs with people, it will help people. And if this isn't something that reaches people, that's okay. I'm just hoping that it reaches more people than it doesn't reach.
Yeah, and maybe even if it does reach them and it doesn't get to them at that time, you know what I mean? You planted that seed, which is like more than not doing anything.
For sure, for sure. And bro, well, I appreciate you taking the time today, man, and everybody that's listening now and will listen when we post it later. Appreciate it. So you guys have yourself a wonderful Saturday and a great Labor Day weekend.
Stay blessed, family. I know he'll take me, shake me, and make me what I
am. Oh, I cannot sleep. The Holy Spirit will creep. I know he'll.